Today's scripture is from Luke 15:3-7. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The word of the Lord.
All right, I'm here to represent this morning. Good to have you all with us. Welcome. You may have noticed, you may have not, that today is the fifth Sunday of the month of June, and it has become a standard practice for us here at the church on the fifth Sunday of any month to do a family service, which means that we welcome all of the children from their classrooms to join us here in the sanctuary for a special time of teaching. So if you are of the ages 10 or under, I want to invite you to come and sit in these front two rows. All those who are 10 and under who don't need to be held by mom or dad, want to invite you to come sit in these. Jordan, that's not you? Okay. To sit in these first two rows. You have excommunicated Jordan from his favorite spot. Find a seat in these first two rows. As they are coming, I want to speak to the reason why we do this. It's not simply to give our children's teachers a rest, though they certainly deserve one. Now they work very hard in the rooms. Actually, the reasons behind why it is that we have children's family services here at the Painted Door are threefold. They're long-term reasons meant to shape the culture of our church. First and foremost, we want our littlest members to know that you are vital parts of this church. It's very important to us that you are in this church with us, and so we want to give you a seat of honor on a regular basis so that you know that we do honor you, that we're glad that you're here, and that we're very excited to meet you in the stage of life that you are in. Second reason that we do these children's services is that we want to begin preparing all of our littlest members to begin receiving the Word of God through preaching. So in our children's classrooms, we have teachers who lead through exercises and crafts. That's wonderful. But God has always seen fit to use preaching as one of the primary tools to communicate His word to His people. Jesus came into the world preaching and teaching. And so we want all of you to begin to learn to receive God's word through preaching and teaching. And I promise to try to not spit on you. Sometimes I get excited. You're sitting in the front row. We'll see what happens. But that's all part of it, right? That's all part of learning to receive the Word of God and strain out the spittle of man. And then the third reason why we do these family services is to highlight that it is the same gospel that nourishes us all. Whatever our age, whatever our life stage, whatever our background, it's the same Word and counsel of God that feeds our souls and feeds our hearts. So, with that, little ones, I have a question for you. Who likes parties? Almost everyone. Oh, yeah, everyone likes parties. What is the best thing about a party? What are some of the best things about a party? What do you like about it? Anyone, shout it out. What do you like? Dessert. Dessert, yes. Delicious food full of high fructose corn syrup. Amen. Bodhi.
Fun games.
Fun games, yeah. Fun games at parties. What else is at parties that you love? Music. Who likes presents? Anyone like presents? You don't get presents at parties? I'm going to talk to your parents later. But what are some of the reasons that we celebrate? What are some of the reasons why we throw parties? To get together, yeah? In the back, yeah?
To celebrate something.
To celebrate something. Yeah, like what? What could we celebrate? Yeah?
4th of July.
4th of July. That's a great reason to throw a party, right? Bring your earplugs and eye protection. Yeah? What else, Bodhi? You had one? Someone's birthday party, right? That's a great reason. Yeah, holidays, birthdays. Yeah, Chloe?
Christmas,
right? Another great holiday to celebrate. Yeah, maybe a graduation, right? There are so many reasons to throw a party. In fact, there's almost always a reason to throw a party. Sometimes you can throw a party for no particular reason, just because maybe the sun is out. It's summertime. Let's party, right? It's barbecue season. We can throw a party. It's almost like the world is just always partying, in fact. The world somewhere, somehow, is always celebrating something because our world is so full of beautiful and wonderful things. You probably noticed, maybe you didn't when you got up this morning, that there were birds singing. Did you hear birds singing when you got up this morning? Maybe some of you. We do live in the city, but there are birds even here in the city. The birds are throwing a party every morning. The trees, the leaves rustling in a cool summer breeze. It's like they're throwing a party. They're waving their hands in the air like they just don't care. They're representing, they're bringing it, right? Maybe you've been to the lakefront or you've been to a river and you heard the water splashing. The world is full of noise and color and flourish and delightful things, even in the wintertime, right? Snowflakes are dancing. It's like the world is always partying in some way. There's some kind of music celebration going on because the world is so full of wonderful, party-worthy, celebration-worthy things. Okay, but did you know that when Jesus came into the world, he said that there was something even more worth celebrating than all of the life and flourishing that we see in the world? I mean, there's a lot worth celebrating here, isn't there? Your life is worth celebrating. My life is worth celebrating. Your growth as you graduate from season to season, that's worth celebrating. Your family lives together are worth celebrating. Jesus said there's something even more worth celebrating. There's a reason that's even better for us to celebrate in this life. And Jesus told three stories to help people start to understand what that better reason for celebration is. Okay, so I want to tell you all those three stories today. Anybody like stories? Want to hear some stories? We got two. We got three. We got four. We got four. I got four. We got five. Okay, we're going to hear some stories this morning. All right, these are stories told by Jesus. I'm going to change them up a little bit to make them come alive a little bit more. Here we go. The first story that Jesus told was about a sheep. We're going to call him Sean. Just pick a name, okay? Sean the sheep lived with 99 of his friends and brothers and sisters. And what Sean and all of his friends knew was that in order for them to be safe, they needed to stay very near the shepherd. The shepherd, the person who owned all these sheep, the man who owned all these sheep, was the one person who could feed them, give them water, bathe them, shear them, protect them when wolves might want to come in and steal one of the sheep. And so all of these 100 sheep, Sean and his 99 friends, knew they needed to stay close to the shepherd. But one day, Sean wandered off from the rest of the group. He didn't mean to. He got distracted. And he wandered off, and no one noticed that he had wandered off. And by the time he came to his senses, he was far away from all 99 of his friends and from the safety of his shepherd. He was lost. And Sean was alone, and he was cold, and he was afraid, and he started to wonder, would my shepherd even notice if I were missing? because there are 99 other sheep back in his care. So what are the odds that he even knows I'm here? I'm on my own, alone and lost, no one coming to look for me. But what Sean didn't know was that his shepherd was a very good shepherd. And so his shepherd was careful to count his sheep at every interval of the day so that he would notice if even one went missing. And when he noticed that Sean was missing, he left all the other 99 sheep to fend for themselves so that he could go off and look for that one lost sheep. And when he finally found Sean, quivering and alone and afraid, what do you think the shepherd did? Do you think he got mad? Do you think he got annoyed? No. He rejoiced. He rejoiced. He picked little Sean up and put him on his shoulders. He carried him back to his home, back to the fold of the other 99 sheep. And then he sent out an invitation to all of his friends and all of his neighbors. He said, "Celebrate with me, because what I had lost, I have now found." And then Jesus told a second story. The second story was about a woman who had 10 silver coins. Have you ever seen a real silver coin? Not the kind of quarters and nickels and dimes that your parents have rolling around in their underwear, but a real silver coin. I have some here. I have some real silver coins. These are real silver.
These are real silver half dollars. They're made out of silver. Want to touch them? They feel different. They look different. They have a different weight to them. Pretty special, huh? These are coins that you want to take very good care of. These are coins that you wouldn't want to lose. You'd want to put them in a very safe place. They're extra valuable. I bought them at a coin shop. They don't cost 50 cents each. I'll tell you that much. They're real silver half dollars. But what would happen if I took these real silver coins and I closed my fist around them and then I went back up onto the stage and threw them? What would happen? They'd be lost, wouldn't they? That's what happened to the woman in the story. She lost one of her coins. She had no idea where it was. Jesus said that when she lost it, she then searched through her house diligently. You know what diligently means? Very, very carefully. She turned all the lights on in the house, which means more than flipping a switch. She had to light oil lamps in her house, got out a broom, and then began to sweep around the leg of every table and sweep under the corner of every bed, looking desperately for this valuable, real silver coin that she had lost. And then she found it. What do you think she did when she found that coin? What do you think? She celebrated. She rejoiced. Because she had lost something of tremendous value, and now she had found it again. She sent out an invitation to all of her friends and all of her neighbors. Come celebrate with me. Let's throw a party. What has been lost has now been found. You see in these two stories, something really valuable was lost, and then it was found. And Jesus is saying, the greatest reason for celebration is the celebration of lost and found. And then he told one more story. You guys are doing great. One last story. This story was about a wealthy man who had two sons. And the younger brother, the younger son,
I have two sons. The younger one just smirked at me. The younger of the two sons, the younger brother, as soon as he was old enough, he said to his dad, I don't want anything to do with you. I want to get as far away from you as I can. And so he asked his dad, can I have all of the money and all of the clothes and all of the resources that you were planning on giving me at some point? Can you just give it to me now so I can take it and get as far away from you as I can? And this brother took all that money and he took all those clothes and he took all those resources and he ran away from home. And he went off into the world and he spent and used all the money and all the clothes and all the stuff on foolish things. He spent it on food and on drinks and on things just to make him feel good, but he wasn't smart with it, he wasn't careful with it, and before long it was all gone. He had nothing left. He was painfully hungry. He was so hungry, in fact, that he asked the owner of some pigs if he could watch his pigs because he thought maybe the pigs would have some food and he could eat some pig food. That's how hungry he was. He was completely lost. And while he was watching those pigs, he thought in his mind, I wonder if maybe I were to go back home and I were to tell my dad just how sorry I am, I wonder if maybe he would give me a bed to sleep in, he'd give me some food to eat. The son thought in his mind, I know that I'm not going to be his son anymore because I've rejected him, but maybe if I say I'm sorry hard enough and well enough, he'll let me be one of his servants. He'll let me live in his house and eat his food and sleep in one of the beds. And that at least would be better than being here and watching these pigs. And so the brother thought, I'm going to do it. And he started to travel back to his home. And as he was going, he was practicing what he was going to say to his dad. How he was going to apologize to his father. How he was going to plead for forgiveness and mercy. And asked to be a servant. But as he started to get closer to home, his dad, turns out, had been watching at the gate for his return. Ever since he had left, his father, day and night, had been standing at the gate, looking at the horizon, watching, hoping, waiting for his son to come home. And his dad ran to him and threw his arms around him. And the son tried to apologize. He tried to say, I know that I've messed up. I know I've been a fool. I know I'm not your son anymore. Just make me a servant. And the father said, no, no, I'll have none of that. You are my son. You will always be my son. Nothing that you can do can ever make you not my son. In fact, we read in the scripture, the father said to the servants, quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it. We'll have steak tonight, the father said. Who likes steak? Praise be to God. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. They began to celebrate. Because in all three stories, something of great value, first a sheep, then a coin, and then a son was lost. Only then to be found. The celebration of lost and found is a greater celebration than any of the celebrations of all of the life and beauty and wonder of our world. The celebration of lost and found is the celebration that rises in the heavens. It's the celebration that wakes the angels up. It's the one that makes them dance. It's the one that makes them sing. It's the one that fills God's heart. Listen to me very, very closely. Listen. Listen. If you
are ever in a place where you don't know what to do, if you're ever in a place where you think, I've done so many silly, foolish things, I've done so many bad things, that I don't know what to do next, I don't know how to fix it, I'm stuck in all of these negative things that are happening because of what I have done. If you're ever in that place, know this absolutely for sure, that you have a Father waiting at the gate, looking down the road, longing for you to come home. That you always have a Father who is ready with open arms to welcome you back into Himself. That Father is God. God is the Father of us all. God made us. And even if one of us should be lost, even if we so go off course that we're lost, we don't know where to go next, He is waiting with open arms to welcome us back to Himself, to bring us back into His home, to throw a party, in fact, that we have come home. Did you know that? That the heavens celebrate and rejoice every time that a person who has been lost finds their way home. Every time that a person who has wandered off is found and restored again. This is what makes the heart of God celebrate and all of His angels in the heavens celebrate along with Him. If you've ever found yourself in that place, if you ever find yourself in that place, no matter how many times, over and over again, you can go back home. Do you know how good and amazing it feels to find something that has been lost? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever lost something that was really valuable, something you really wanted, and you were sad, and you grieved, maybe you even cried, and then you found it again? There's no reason to celebrate like that. You know what that's called? It's called redemption. It's called resurrection. This is what God does with us. When we sin, when we're foolish, when we wander off, God has one plan for all of our foolishness and sin, and it's to dance on its grave. He wants to celebrate when we come back from that place, come back to Him, and He's always drawing us back. Do you remember earlier when I threw the coins into the crowd and they landed all out through the crowd? You guys saw that, right? Well, it just so happens that they actually landed right underneath each one of you. And if you reach down between your knees, under the lip of the chair that you are sitting on, if you move two chairs over, this will also be true. You will find a special coin hidden there, I think. Unless the janitors move the chair. Reach your hands underneath the lip of the seat. Do you feel it there? Do you feel something there? Right in the front. Right in the front. Is there something there? Can you peel it off? I'll help you later. When something is lost and then it is found, that is the reason to celebrate. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You are the one who finds us. Thank You that You are the one who draws us back when we find ourselves lost, when we are unsure of what to do next, when we have dug ourselves into a hole that we cannot get out of. Thank You that You are always standing with open arms, welcoming us home. Thank You that the party and celebration of the ages will be one littered with the stories of our folly and foolishness, and yet ending in triumph in Your faithfulness, Your rescue, Your salvation, Your redemption. Lord, help every one of us here today who feels lost, who feels like we are wandering, who is unsure where to go next. Lead us
by your Spirit back into your arms. Lead us into the celebration of the heavens that you are waiting to throw for us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.